Welcome to the Kicking It With Ray podcast. I'm your host, Rainice, and I'm here to discuss all things reality TV from a black and brown perspective. From dating and marriage to competitions and everyday pop culture, I'll be diving into it all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Kicking It With Ray. I'm your host, Rainice, and today I have my good friend Epiphany here. I met Epiphany almost a year ago through her campaign, Roses for Everybody. So Epiphany, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and talk about Joey's season and his wonderful girls.
Yes, yes, I'm so glad to have you here. I'd love for you to just take a few minutes and tell us about Roses for Everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So Roses for Everybody is a body diversity campaign that we started. It's almost going to be like a year and a half, I think, ago at this point. And basically, our ultimate goal is to just have more body diversity in the franchise. But there's only been two people who have considered themselves plus size on the show, and even one of them who doesn't really consider themselves plus size anymore. But yeah, it's just, there hasn't been much body diversity on the show. There's no one who is technically the average, size of a person in America. And this is something that we have been fighting to see more, and not just on the Bachelor franchise, but just in reality TV in general, just to have more representation across the board.
Yeah. I 100% agree. I know when I started watching the show again, I came back for Ben Higgins season. I myself was plus sized. I found out I had diabetes 2 years ago. So I've lost a lot of weight since then. So technically I'm no longer considered plus size, but I'm still curvy, and it still really sucks not seeing women who look like me on shows finding love. It really sucks.
Yeah. And it's kind of like a mind fuck in a way, because you're like, I know that there are people out there who look like me, right? I know that when I walk around in the world that I see lots of people of so many different types of body sizes, body shapes, etc. And it's just very frustrating that a show like The Bachelor, that is in millions of homes and has been around for so long, and at the end of the day, it's about finding love, and everybody is deserving of love, every type of body, everybody from any type of background, race, etc. So it's just kind of interesting that while they've made some small progress in other areas of diversity, very small, I mean, we still have only had one Black Bachelor.
Never forget. And we still haven't had an Asian Bachelor.
Or Bachelorette, right? Yes. I don't believe so. Yeah. Okay. So it's very frustrating that they haven't made any progress at all in this space. Again, I'm not in the business of judging bodies, but you can just tell that everyone's quite thin, like just very, very, very thin. Yeah. There's no diversity at all. So that's why I would say the Golden Bachelor was a little bit of a breath of fresh air. I mean, these were an older group of people, but at least we saw folks of different shapes and sizes, which, you know, we did appreciate, but.
Right. No, it was great to see that. Of course, you know, the tiniest, most in shape ones ended up making it to the final three.
Yep.
We can't change someone's type, unfortunately. But
absolutely not.
You know, this season we did have two women who were definitely not a size zero. They were probably still under like an extra large, but it was good to see Kayla and Krissa this season, and just see like beautiful women with a little more curve to them. They like, again, not even, I wouldn't even call them like barely thick,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I, when I saw Krissa, I was like, she is stunning. She's so beautiful. And I'm like, and Krissa is still like smaller than the average person. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, she's still a small girl, but she, you know, is a little bit of a different size than some of the other women that we have seen and that we're accustomed to, which is just a breath of fresh air. Like, oh, thank God we finally have someone with like boobs and maybe a little bit of a butt. Like, that is so wonderful to see.
It was so great. It made me feel good to see her on. And unfortunately, she was eliminated this week and we didn't get enough airtime of her. And she has a really good story too, about like raising her little sister. And I just really would have loved to have seen more of that. We're gonna get a little into the show, but one of my biggest pet peeves with this is eliminating people who we never saw the lead even talk to. I don't understand that. And for all we know, they did have a thorough, great conversation and it just was never shown. I feel like that does everybody a disservice because, like, if we don't see the lead even trying with them, how do we know that they know they're definitely not the one? You know, just it's like, I just would like to see you try and then eliminate them. Like, oh, you know what? I talked to them. We don't have a lot in common. Now they got to go. That makes sense to me personally.
No, I totally agree. And Bachelor Rabbit Hole had a really good post about night one and how producers basically choose who gets to speak to the lead. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't understand. Like, and it's purpose, right? Like, it's purposely. Yeah. They do this on purpose. And oftentimes it is at the expense of people of color.
Yes.
And you see that again, too, when you don't get to see stories like, you know, Krissa's highlighted or even was it Evelyn who also went home?
Yeah, Evelyn also went tonight. Home.
Yeah, like the only times they really showed her was when she was crying, you know, it's like, why don't we get to understand these women, see them, see what connection, little or no, you know, maybe they had a connection with Joey, but it wasn't as strong as others. Maybe they had none whatsoever. But at the end of the day, screen time equates to, you know, potential, you know, monetary opportunities, most likely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the more that they're on the show, the more likely they can potentially make a career out of it. And again, as we know, we've seen the numbers, women of color do not do, people of color in general don't do as well in this social media influencer realm than the white folks do. Yeah. And partially it's because of that screen time, which we, you know, I love, I'm a data girl. Like my day job is working in insights. So that's why I love following Bachelor data, because you get to see how these things correlate. And it's all a choice, right? The editors, producers, they choose who gets the screen time, because, you know, I'm pretty sure Joey had at least a couple of conversations with these women, especially this far along where it's small enough, right, that you can still get a little bit of time. But they are more concerned with showing this drama between Sydney and Maria, when I'm not even convinced Joey has a connection with Sydney. You know, right. I don't think I've ever seen them talk before.
They haven't even kissed. Like, as far as we've seen, if they have kissed, it has not been shown on TV, which I do know that they do cut out some people's kisses and things. So it's possible that they did. Again, we weren't there, but we have not seen any type of connection with Sydney at all. I don't even think we've seen them have a conversation, except for maybe night one. And it was probably like a glass over where we just like see them, but don't hear what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Cause I don't remember it. I don't know anything about this girl, except for what we read in her bio and that she's dramatic. So.
Exactly. And like, I get it. This is a show. This is a reality show. There needs to be some drama. It can't all be romance, even though I would absolutely adore that, but I understand, like, you need to have some drama, but I think there's a better way to balance it. And you could have absolutely cut some of this Sydney drama by like a couple of minutes to just show a conversation with Krissa, you know, because I would have loved to learn even more about her. I mean, it's sad that we found out more about her backstory through the intro package that was on social media than actually on the show.
I 100% agree. I think it would play so much better if we saw that. And that's one of the reasons why I, you know, started doing this content creation at all, was to give voices to people of color, specifically Black and Brown, because I relate, but you know, we also want to highlight any woman of color who is not getting that shine, that screen time. Like, for instance, this episode was the very first time a monoracial Asian woman got a one-on-one date in 22 years as the show has been on.
When I saw that, I was stunned.
Stunned. Literally, I said in my caption, like, it's absurd that it's 2024 and we're still celebrating these kind of firsts. It's sad. Like, this, it's yay, celebrate it, but this is sad.
I mean, even when with Charity season, that was the first time we had a monoracial Black couple.
Yep.
And I was like,
yep.
Wow.
And first Black couple on the main show, and then first monoracial Black couple, period. So
yeah. Wait, did we have one on Paradise?
Yeah, well, monoracial, what's her name, oh my god, what names are on the tip of my tongue? Riley and
Marissa.
Yeah, Riley and Marissa's mixed.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so that were like the first. Okay, Well, yeah. Oh yeah, because they were before Nate and Michelle, right?
Yes. And you know,
Gotcha.
Michelle and Nate are both mixed. So
Absolutely, yeah.
so then actually, yeah, that I forgot about Nate and Michelle, because they imploded
Yeah, but
terribly.
Michelle was like the first time we had so many black folks in top four. Because wasn't her final four, were they all
All
black?
my, they were all mixed. I called
Were
it
they, yeah.
the Battle of the Light Skins.
Oh Lord. Oh Lord. I know that's why I did what I did love about Charity Season. I was like, oh, because when I saw who made it to hometown, I was like, finally some black mamas. I was
And
like, I
not a
haven't
one.
seen a black mom on this show since
Not
like
a one.
Charity Season. I mean, since Rachel Season.
Yeah, but then there was not a one for Michelle's season. That was so funny. But yeah, like Charity, we finally got black moms. It was so exciting. I just loved that for us. And now Michelle, of course, is back to dating white men. So no, we will.
I
And you
mean,
know,
you know what though? If you're gonna date one, they should look like the one that Michelle is dating.
yes.
That is
Don't
a
you think he looks
beautiful
a little
man.
bit like Joey?
He does. He
Yeah.
does. He's
Yeah.
like he they did look it's and Michelle made a really funny at the wedding they met and they made a really funny comment about that. She's like, I met my boyfriend's twin here. So
That's hilarious.
yeah, they look very alike for sure.
I know you are
But I don't
president of Joey's fan club. So,
know. Oh.
how do you think he's doing so far?
I'm trying to reel myself in. I'm trying like this is at the okay. A man is gonna disappoint you regardless, especially a white man. So I'm really trying like not to completely fangirl over him, but I am down bad. Before we started talking, I was watching all these Joey interviews. Like I watched the one that he did with Jennifer Hudson, and I was like, oh, this is so sweet. And
Oh my
then
gosh. Tell
it's
us
real
about it.
like,
I might have you send them to me afterwards, but tell us about them because I haven't been watching
oh, okay. What I will say about Joey, not only is he media trained really well, he's just really good at this interview stuff. Like,
Yeah.
the first interview I ever watched him do was the one that he did on Kimmel, and he's so good at banter. He's so good at just talking to people. He's very much a natural at this. And when I think back, I'm like, I don't recall the last Bachelor that has done so much press, so much promo, been booked on so many shows. But the Jennifer Hudson one was so, I mean, for one thing, I love Jennifer Hudson. And again, he was just so great. They played this really fun game that was she gave him these scenarios, and he was like, he had like a little paddle, a tennis racket, and one side said it's a match, and the other one said like not a match or something like that. You know, they love playing up the tennis thing. But what was really endearing about it is that almost every scenario except for one, Joey kind of found a way for it to be a match. Like one was, she has a beautiful smile, but she chews with her mouth open, and he was like, it's a match. We could talk about it. We could find a way around it, you know. Yeah, he was really sweet. Like another one was oh God, what was the other one? Another one was oh, the only one that he was like it's not a match was she like wanted them to wake up every day at 5 a.m. and he was like, my sleep is too important. I can't do 5 a.m. every day.
Yeah,
He's like, that's a
no, thank you.
non-negotiable.
That's
Yeah,
hilarious.
but
I'm gonna have to go watch it.
oh yeah, there's like a few, and I also listened to the interview he did with Caitlin Bristow, which was really interesting. I think the thing that I liked the most about that interview is that he mentioned that he goes to therapy, and I'm like, oh, I was like, great. It's like the bar is in hell, but I'm like, a man that goes to therapy. Oh my
Yeah, no,
goodness.
I've come to the conclusion that I have to date a man who has older sisters, LGBTQ plus community parents, and goes to therapy. Those
Oh,
three.
well, Joey has all three of those.
That's what I'm saying. Like all three things. It's like you're hitting all the marks. He is just so good at his job, which, you know,
Absolutely.
his job is to make us believe that a love story is forming. And the way he talks to women, it is not the same thing for every single woman. He like affirms them and is so good. Like Lexi had it completely right in her speech when they asked her at the pageant and they asked her, like, why do you like Joey? And she was like, it's not just his good looks, but like he feels genuine. The way he comes back to you and mentions facts and things and says repeats things back to you. And for all we know, he could be reading a cue card before he goes to talk with the girl. We really don't know. But even if he is doing that, he's not making them feel like he's doing it, which is it makes you feel good. So
I totally agree. And I think he's the real deal only because I think it would be too hard for him to be that practiced. Because
yes.
we saw a glimpse of like all of the traits that Charity said is what made her interested in him he still has and we're still seeing, right? Charity talked so much about how much of a calming presence he was and how he was always so considerate and so thoughtful. And like every time he had an interaction with her during her season, he was always thinking about her. And, you know, Joey talks a lot about that, how he's constantly thinking about others and how, you know, in a partner, it's really important to find someone who's kind and, you know, and considerate. Like those are very key. Those are key traits to him. So I think it's so strange to be so attracted to a bachelor because I have never been. I mean, I talk about this a lot, but my first season was Ari's season, and I feel like I cursed the franchise because we haven't had a good bachelor since then.
This is all your fault. We can comfortably clearly. Blame Tiffany for what's
clearly
happening.
Clearly, yeah.
I originally started with the very first season, but I was like 14. I was in high school and mm-hmm. I quickly realized the show was not for me. So I only made it through like Bob Guinea's season. And then I came back for Ben Higgins' season because one of my friends was like, there's some racist shit happening. Can you come watch this and tell me if I'm crazy?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was some serious microaggressions. That's where we met Jubilee, who was,
I was going to say Jubilee.
Yeah, so they were doing some racist shit, girl. Like, they were talking about, she's not for Ben. Can you imagine her as a soccer mom, like, going to soccer games? What? Like, why couldn't she be a soccer mom? There's nothing. What? Like, little things like that. And they were really giving her a hard time in the house to where she ended up leaving. Like, she sent herself home because she was so uncomfortable.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was one of those, like, mutual decisions where he... Mm-hmm. Everybody knew he was already into Lauren. So I think he was like, I really don't want you to go. It was very awkward, but she ended up leaving. She was very uncomfortable in the house, which is why I'm so shocked to see her still involved with Bachelor Nation. Cause she did not have a good spin with them. So anyway, cause
they also did her dirty when she went to Paradise too, right?
They did. She left and we had no idea why. Like she was just gone. And she went there twice. I don't remember what happened the first time, but the second time, it was like, she was just gone. And we were like, what happened? It was weird. I didn't like that at all. But since Ben Higgins, the only bachelor that I've liked was Nick Viall, and he is toxic as fuck. So don't like, listen, I don't know if I liked him for his looks or just cause he was funny.
So after Joey is my favorite. Joey is my hottest and my favorite bachelor. Okay. I would say hottest, but like not my favorite. I think Matt James is probably one of the hottest bachelors we've had. Mm-hmm. His personality doesn't just mesh well with mine at all. Like it just doesn't, which is fine. But we also went to the same college, which is very interesting, but he was younger than me.
Okay.
So I went to school with him and Tyler Cameron. Tyler. Mm-hmm. So he's like hottest. And then in terms of like who I thought was actually a good bachelor, this is probably very controversial, but I thought Zach was actually a good bachelor.
it turned out he was like, the season wasn't the best, but he was actually really good at finding love. I believe him and Katie are going to get married. Like he was very serious about his shit and knew what he wanted. And that was refreshing coming behind, who was it? Clayton.
Oh Lord.
Mess. You know,
now we're talking about entertaining.
Yeah. So I actually think Clayton is good looking. I like big guys. Mm-hmm. His beefiness, it works for me. But I think that there was too many issues behind his picking that it just did not make any sense to me. Like, how do you have an ending with four black men and pick this white man who went home in 11th place? I can't support it. It just doesn't make any sense.
It had no connection with Michelle at all. Like, it didn't make any sense. At least when they picked Hannah Brown, like, you know that she and Colton had some kind of connection. Yeah. But Clayton, it just didn't make sense. And again, it really seemed like an excuse to not pick one of these black men to be the bachelor.
That's all it was. And it made no sense. I will say, I went back and watched some older seasons since I came back. Juan Pablo's, highly recommend watching Juan Pablo's season.
Ooh, if you haven't
seen it. I actually really like him. He got a lot of shit at the time because the producers didn't like him. His team basically decided they hated him. My theory on this is that Juan Pablo wanted to choose Charlene. And when Charlene sent herself home, he didn't give a shit anymore. He was like, I have to finish this show because I'm contractually obligated. But I don't think he wanted any other women at that point. And, you know, his personality is to just be like, well, fuck it. And he did that. So,
that's a season I've considered going back to and watching, but especially during the pandemic when they were doing those those greatest of all time. And I think they did a Juan Pablo episode, and as I was watching it, I was like, wait a minute, Do I like Juan
Yes,
Pablo?
literally, I said that too. Like, oh, I thought y'all said he was awful. And I think that's when I watched it too, was after watching that episode. And I listened to Charlene's podcast, and she likes it. Like, she still says she has nothing but good things to say about him because he wanted to pick her. And so she got to
Yeah.
see like the best side of him. The other thing is there was a lot of cultural issues, a
I
lot
was
of,
gonna say that.
yeah, it
Language
was very,
barrier. Yeah.
yes, exactly. And one of the things I found out, I think it might have been on that Greatest of All Time episodes, was that there was a woman there who also spoke Spanish, and that him and her would have all their conversations in Spanish, and that was never shown, like not once. And like we didn't see her talk with him at all. And I'm like, y'all really robbed us of seeing like other cultures at all. And so I thought he was good looking, and I thought he was funny. Well, he was very problematic, don't get me wrong, but I think
Yeah,
that was a
totally.
cultural issue and the producers just not wanting to play ball with him. So
And like, yeah, a little problematic, but truly compared to so many of the other bachelors we've had, I mean, I think Bachelor Nation has kind of put him on this pedestal of being like the greatest asshole of all times. And I just don't think that he deserves that. I think there are other bachelors who are probably or way worse than him. I mean, I haven't seen every single season, but I think it's just unfair for one of the few multicultural leads that they had, for everyone to kind of pile on them. I think that
Agreed.
was very unfair. So,
Agreed, agreed, agreed. Okay, let's jump into this episode.
yes.
First of all, what did you think about the Mrs. Wright pageant?
Ooh, I did like seeing the Askin ladies. Like, I wish we would have had more of them. That was really, really fun. The pageant. I mean, I'm not a big pageant person. I feel like the narrative, I think everyone became so concerned with the fact that Lexi was making out with Joey in front of everybody, that it kind of just derailed the whole thing. And I just, yeah, and they didn't even really get to show like the women's talents that much.
Their questions,
And
answers, yeah, all that. Like, we didn't need to
yeah.
see that whole kiss. It was a lot. Yeah,
And I would have liked to see more of the response. Like, I loved when they asked that question to Lexi and she was able to talk about the things that she liked about Joey and that she found. I wish we would have heard more of those responses. I loved Edwina singing because, and Joey is like so kind because you see in the ITM, he's like, she sings, that's so impressive. She sang so wonderfully a cappella. And I was like, I love you, girl. I love Edwina is my girl. That is my girl.
love her down.
We have ears.
That was not the same. We could not have been hearing the same thing. We could not have been.
I'm gonna leave it at that, but I love her. Like, she's my fit. I love how every season we have a few key people who are like the narrators for the season that we get really good narration from in the ITMs, and she is serving that role right now in the show. And I love it. I love it.
Yep. And so she can't go anywhere for a while because we need her. And yeah, her facial expressions during like Sydney's talent, quote unquote. Like, okay,
Oh,
quick
gosh.
question. Do you think that she was being satirical when she said, when she was in the ITMs talking about what are these talents? I do pageants, so I know how to do this, and these women are not bringing it. Do you think this was satire?
I think she was dead serious, but she is someone that I'm truly, I can't,
Baffled?
I don't understand her.
Not at all. Not even a little bit. So she got the question. What was her question in the pageant? It was, oh, have you ever faked it? And she told us yes, which I feel like most women have faked it. If that's not really that big of a deal. Of course, Maria jumped on this, like, see, she fakes it, she's a liar. And I'm like, I mean, you know, I wouldn't fake it now at my big age, but when I was younger and didn't know how to like demand things that I wanted, I definitely, you know, faked it. So
Also, I think it's one of those things where Maria can't stand Sydney at this point. So anything that girl says, she's gonna be like, you
jump on
irritate
it.
me.
Exactly. Now, we definitely see that in that moment, but we saw it from Sydney the rest of the episode. Just like,
Oh.
not keep Maria's name out of her mouth. Just insanity.
I really felt for Maria this whole
Me
episode, and I'm
too.
sure we'll get more into it, but it was tough to watch. And it's very interesting because I think Ashley, I posted a picture with Sydney. She's like, be kind to Sydney. Like, you don't see the whole story.
So
And again, I'm
there
not.
was two pieces to that post too, because the first part was Sydney made this video talking about gaslighting and explaining.
Gaslighting.
Yeah, she literally explained the definition of gaslighting and says, like, she said she made it in between the two episodes. So she posted it, and in it she said, like, you may have seen gaslighting in our last week's episode. And she basically is implying that Maria was gaslighting her. And then in this week's episode, what do we see? Like, this was a textbook case of gaslighting, because not only do we see Sydney lie to Joey, but we see her, like, tell Maria flat out, you are catty and you are this, but then she can't give us any examples of when she has done that, and just, like, walks off acting like, I have to protect my peace, I'm not gonna do this, you are the problem, I'm above this. It was nasty.
Yeah. it was very baffling to watch. And again, I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, because I know that there's editing involved, right? But seeing the way Maria reacted to all of this, she would have to be diabolical to have done what Sydney said that she done, and then react the way that she's been reacting.
Exactly.
Because every time a new accusation comes up that is a bold-faced lie, that girl looks shocked.
Yes.
She's not very good at like hiding her emotions
at all. And my thing with, like, editing is, the only way the editors would create this story is if they just absolutely hated Sydney. They, like, we're just going to show all of Sydney's bad stuff and none of Maria's. We're going to completely cut Maria, her bad behavior, out and only show Sydney's bad behavior and make her look like the villain. They would only do that if they absolutely hated Sydney and Maria was paying them under the table or something.
Absolutely. And no, I totally agree.
And while we, like I said, I think Juan Pablo's season was edited to make him look terribly. So I do know that editors can do this. They can do whatever they want. Sydney still said stuff that just could not have happened. It just couldn't have, because we saw, like, when she told Joey that Maria started attacking her and called her embarrassing, weird, and dumb, we saw that conversation. None of that happened.
I think Maria might have used some of those words, but it wasn't directed weird. Toward her.
She said, like, I feel weird. That is she said. Mm-hmm.
And she might have even said, like, this whole, I think in one of her ITMs, she was like, this whole thing is dumb. Like, she's like, the situation is dumb and unnecessary. Like, this isn't something that, this is something that shouldn't be happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't remember her ever saying embarrassing, unless she said, like, this is embarrassing for me. Because I could imagine her saying, maybe she did. But again, like you said, none of it was directed at Sydney. Like, okay. Medina, when she went to go to snitch to Joey, sorry, but you did, because you could have just been like, no, everything's fine. You could have completely not said anything. I stand by that.
And it was squashed at that point too, wasn't it? Like,
squashed, yeah.
Yeah, so why are you bringing it up?
So why, like, and like, to, Joey asked her, so she probably felt on the spot, but I think that truly, if she was the kind of person who didn't want drama, she could have just kept being like, no, really, everything's fine. It was squashed. Don't worry about it. Anyway, she says to Joey, the trigger word of bullying. She says, I felt bullied. She then tried to go back and say, oh, I didn't call you a bully. I said, I felt bullied. In that situation, if Maria was the one who made you feel bullying, then she's you are bullied. Calling her a bully. Like, that
absolutely.
Is what you're doing. Whereas in the way that Maria was talking about the situation, she said, I feel weird. She didn't say, you are acting weird. She didn't say, you are acting embarrassing. She didn't say, you are acting dumb. She said, I feel weird, because she was being gaslit. So she didn't know how to feel about it. She's very much like, oh my God, what is happening? I don't know how to react in the situation. And feeling like the situation is dumb, because it is. It's the stupidest situation ever. That doesn't mean you are dumb. It means that what is happening right now is stupid. It just is. Mm-hmm. And so, to your point, like, there's a difference between using words to describe how you feel and a situation versus actually attacking someone and calling them these words. It's just like when people say, oh, you're acting like a bitch. No, I didn't call you a bitch. I said, you're acting like a bitch. Get out of here.
No. We're not. I totally agree. No, and it's, I will say, what created this situation was a comment that Maria made. And when she first made the comment, I was kind of like, oof. At first, it did seem a little insensitive, right? It did seem a little, like, the way that it was portrayed, it seemed like she was downplaying Marina's feelings, right?
Medina's feelings,
but
yeah.
Medina.
Yeah.
Medina's feelings. So, but then the thing about what I do like about Maria that I've noticed is that she wants to squash things immediately. She's like, if you misunderstood me or if I said something in a way that you interpreted differently, I want to clear the air. I want to talk about it. So once she had an opportunity to clear the air, I was like, oh, now I understand where she was coming from. And I thought it was quite clear.
Yeah.
And then it just spiraled and it just got worse and worse and worse. And it just seemed like Sydney's just using this as an excuse to get more screen time.
Yeah. And we see that Sydney is the kind of friend that, like, if you even say her friend's name, it's you're talking shit, you're talking shit. Because she did the same thing when the girls were kind of complaining about Lexi winning the pageant. And we see them being like, that wasn't even a real talent, which I want to just remind everybody, this was a pageant. So there was multiple things that led to a win. It wasn't just the Lexi choosing to kiss him. That wasn't the only thing that contributed to her win. She had a really good answer about why she liked Joey. So that probably was the reason why. But the
and girl- I give Joey props for that too, because when he was kind of cornered about that, he's like, it wasn't a talent show. He's like, that's not the most important part. It was multiple things that went into this decision.
Exactly. So yeah, the girls just forgot that at the moment though. And they were complaining about her not having a real talent. And we see Sydney be like, well, I don't want to talk shit about Lexi because that's my girl. And Edwina's like, I'm not talking shit. I would say this to her face. It wasn't a real talent. And, you know, she didn't put effort into it. Like, that sucks. And those are all accurate statements. It's not like they were talking shit. So, again, with the Medina thing, do I think that Maria is a little bit more blunt in her speaking than some other women? Yeah. I'm also a blunt person, so I understand it. Mm-hmm. Not everybody gets it. But I think context matters. And the biggest issue I had was that even Sydney admitted that she didn't hear the whole conversation. So all you heard was her say, you're not even that old, which when Medina went back and repeated that to Joey, how stupid did that sound? Like, if you're telling me that someone said to you, you're not even that old, that's a compliment. like that to me would be like, so she complimented you and you took it as her invalidating your feelings. Okay, sure. Like, that's how you felt. Sure, I guess. But it just, to me, I think the biggest issue was that because Sydney didn't hear the whole conversation, she ran back to Medina with half the information, and Medina was already in a place of hurt and feeling insecure. So this just made her feel even worse. I feel like if Medina had overheard what Maria was saying, I feel like she would have not interpreted it the same way that Sydney did. Personally.
No, I totally agree.
Even when I heard Maria saying it, and she was very like animated and like, you're not even that old, like blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't, I don't know. It just, it shouldn't have been construed as talking shit as much as just like, you're in a house with friends. You're good. Like, and I think the person she was talking to probably didn't hear Medina's conversation. So she was like relaying it back or something. I don't remember because they didn't really show who she was talking to, but it just felt like she was relaying a conversation and giving her opinion on it. And her opinion was that 31 is not that old. You're good. Like, you're fine. So I agree with her. This is the dumbest thing to be fighting about, the biggest waste of time. And we didn't get to meet several people because of this. A lot of people did not get to talk to Joey that night.
I think the person she was talking to that night when she made that comment might have been Lauren. And Lauren's left already. So I'm like, dang, there isn't anyone there to kind of like back her up on this.
Yeah.
Which is just really frustrating. And it's just when Maria talks about the fact that she's been bullied in the past, or when she says, you know, I never thought that the hardest thing here would be the girls in the house. Like, that was my least of worries. Because she really gives, like, she's like a girl's girl. So she's like, I just never thought that was going to be an issue. And when she told Joey, like, I'm not being received here the way that I thought, I was like, it just really broke my heart. I was like,
Yeah, it was really sad for me to see that. The one thing I will say, though, and this is, I love Maria. I didn't like her when I first met her, but now I'm like obsessed with her.
Me too. At first, I was like, are you Victoria F 2.0?
Yes.
Like,
but I will say, though, that people, historically and statistically, people who have been bullied often become bullies themselves. So I don't think that that is a great way to be like, I would never, because it happened to me. Like, if you sat down and had a therapist sit down with people who are bullies, it's usually because they were bullied at home. They have a terrible home life. They are being bullied in another part of their life. So they end up bullying in order to have some control come back to them. That's the tip. That is like the I would say like 85 to 90% of bullies is that that's mm-hmm. why. Now, of course, sometimes you just have your spoiled mean girl who is rich and gets everything she wants and just, you know, but it's, there's also some like level of unhappiness to that too. Cause you have to be a pretty unhappy person to bully other people. So anyway, I don't think that that is the best defense, but I think in this case, it speaks to who she is. Like, you see her crying about this and talking about how hurt she is by this whole thing, that Joey even says that she came off more real when she was talking to him, and that Sydney did not come off as real. Although at first we do see him say, I have no reason not to trust Sydney, like what she had to say.
So I think Joey's a little gullible.
Yeah, Joey is definitely the, like, I'm siding with whoever's in front of me right now.
And I think part of it too is I think he just truly tries to see the best in people. Mm-hmm. So that might make him a little bit, it's very refreshing to see someone who is a little bit overly trusting.
Yes.
Because I feel like typically the narrative is, oh, I'm so guarded and yeah. I got to really let my walls down.
Not at all.
He really gives like open book.
Yeah. And I relate to that so hard because we talk about shows like The Traitors and things. I couldn't play that because I trust everybody. I'm like, no, mm-hmm. everybody's good. No one's betraying us, guys. So mm-hmm. so I relate to that hardcore. But then he says to Marie at one point, like, I guess I should have asked more questions. He just kind of took Sydney at her word and didn't ask her anything. But you know what? I think that that is a testimony to him not really liking her that much. He didn't ask. Yeah. Like, he didn't care. He's like, oh, you're telling me this thing that sounds wild. I'm not even going to ask any questions because I just can't even believe what you're saying about Maria right now. Like, I think I think he's more into Maria. And so hearing her say this was shocking that he couldn't even get past mm-hmm, what she was mm-hmm. saying to ask more questions because he's just like, whoa, 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 not my Maria. Let me go grab her right now. So I think
absolutely.
I think that just is testimony to the fact that he doesn't really like Sydney that much.
Yeah, she's there's no way she doesn't go home next week. She's going home next week.
I agree. I fully believe that on that 2-on-1, she's going to go because mm-hmm. it just doesn't make any sense. Now, I do hope that Joey calls some other women in the house to ask their opinions because as we saw, I made a list of the people who seem to be on Maria's side versus on Sydney's side. Mm-hmm. And I do see Sydney talking to Leia at one point. And
that disappointed me a little.
It did too, but to be fair, we don't see Leia encouraging her to do this. We saw Leia basically was like, yeah, you should, I think she said you should handle it, or like, I don't remember what she said, but it wasn't go tell Joey. Like, mm-hmm. Sydney came to the conclusion of going to tell Joey on her own, and I did not feel that Leia was suggesting that, but then she still gave her a high five at the end of the conversation. So yeah, it was very disappointing to see that from Leia, but I feel like there was some tricky editing and maybe we didn't see everything, or maybe they're just not showing us Leia agree with her because they're trying mm-hmm. to protect Leia. But let's see, the women that we did see that actually said Maria's not a bully, it was Allison, Edwina, Star all said she wasn't a bully. And then Medina herself said, I don't think you're a bully.
Mm-hmm.
They squashed the beef themselves. So the fact that Sydney is still bringing it up, I just really hope that one of the women goes to Joey and tells him, like, listen, this is insane. We need to squash this now. Maria did not bully Medina. She's not bullying Sydney. Sydney is blowing things way out of proportion. I don't know, though, if they'll know that she lied to Joey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that Joey will ask more questions to someone. And yeah. That will come up as like, no, that never happened. But because he just seems so concerned. He's like, I don't see these things. So I need to know. Well, somebody needs to tell him, someone who's a third party and not involved. So hopefully he gets that information correct. And
even Kelsey, who was a friend of Sydney's, was like, Sydney is my friend, but I do not like how she's handling this.
Yeah. And so Kelsey, mm-hmm. say more words. Go tell mm-hmm. Joey that she's not handling it the right way.
Let's take a quick break and pay some bills. And we're back.
I did want to quickly bring up the video that Sydney made. So she, like I said, she made this video on gaslighting. Mm-hmm. And I noticed today, because I had made a comment on there. And, you know, my comment was very, I was trying to be nice because I don't think she's a bad person. I just think that this video, that video was very, out of, I felt like she was, it was inappropriate for to make, because you were trying to imply that Maria is gaslighting you, and I didn't think that was fair, mm-hmm. especially given what we had already seen. And because last week what we saw was Sydney basically tell Maria what she thought she meant by her words. Like imagine you say something and a person only hears part of that conversation. They don't hear the context. They don't hear what you followed it up with. They don't hear what you began it with. All they hear is this one piece that sounds a little negative. You then run back and tell your friend what they said and how they meant it. And now your friend's upset. And instead of you coming to the person who said it, they just double down and say, well, this is what you said, and I know you were talking shit about it. I know you meant it. And the person tries to explain themselves like, no, that's not how I meant it at all. That's not what I said. This is what I said and how I meant it. And to be fair, Maria didn't even deny that she said it. She just was trying mm-hmm. to be like, that's not how I meant it. Like, you're taking it out of context. And Sydney just kept being like, nope, you're lying. You're trying to manipulate, blah, blah, blah. But you can't tell someone what they meant by their words when you didn't even hear the whole conversation. That's not fair. So anyway, I commented on her post and I said, it kind of feels like you're implying Maria was gaslighting you. Listen, none of us were there and none of us know what actually happened, so it's not for us to judge. But from what we did see, you admitted that you didn't hear Maria's entire conversation. So do you really know what she was saying, that she was saying anything malicious? The way it came across to a lot of us was Maria was relaying the story and voicing her own opinion that age doesn't matter. Maybe Maria could have approached everything a little softer, but at no point did it feel like she was trying to hurt Medina. And it was pretty weird to run back and tell Medina what you overheard without knowing the full story. It really didn't need to be this big of a deal. Mm-hmm. So that's all I said. I didn't, you know, shit on Sydney's character. I didn't do anything that was mean. I had a lot of people agreed, liked it, and were like, yes, this is exactly it. Like, it's getting blown out of proportion. And then there were a lot of comments that were shitting on Sydney, like a lot of mean comments that were calling her crazy, calling her this and that, like really mean. For some reason, Sydney deleted my comment. Oh, yeah. Only mine. All the other comments were made by white people. And mine, I was the only one person of color who made that comment. Yeah, I just noticed today that it was deleted. So I just I thought that was interesting that she left up comments that said like something about her Botox, like just like really mean comments coming from the way she looks and things that I was like, why are you doing that? So comments that I felt like were actually bullying, she left up, but mine was deleted. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying one thing or another, but I do feel a way about people who erase comments, period. But especially when they seem to be erasing comments from people of color and not those from white people. So very...
So I'm checking again now, and she's now limited comments on the posts, and yep. Some people have been commenting to like, girl, delete this if you're deleting every comment. Mm-hmm.
I think that person who said that was one of the people that had liked my comment too. So I didn't notice anything else being deleted except for my comment. But I mean, my comment had like almost 300 likes by the time I stopped watching it. So a lot of people had seen it. There was a lot of replies to it. I feel like it was noticed that my comment was missing. There was another comment on there similar to mine. It was a little bit meaner though. And that one is still there. It has like 3,000 likes or something.
The one that talks about Maria's confidence?
Yes, I think it was that one.
Yeah, that one has a lot of likes. Yeah, it's interesting because she's definitely cleaned up these comments. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to see which ones that she has kept. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she intentionally kept some of the ones that are a little bit more critical, just so it's not as obvious what she's doing. But a lot of these are more positive than anything.
Yeah. It's just a weird choice. And I mean, I personally would have deleted the video at this point, especially after this episode. Because, you know, she made it before she knew what the edit was going to be. But yet you do not look good on this episode. Let's talk about for a second, because at one point she says, what do you want from me? A limb? Like, do you want me to cut off a limb and give it to you or whatever? What was that about? What was she talking like?
That's the, when I say I don't understand this woman, I do not understand this woman, because everything we've seen, Maria has made it very clear that she just wants to move on from the situation. And one of the things that is the most frustrating to me is when you're trying to get to the bottom of something, or you're trying to get a point across, and the other person just won't let, like, just won't let you. It's like, yeah. I'm asking you to give me specific examples of when I was a bully, and you just deflect the entire time. And it just, it's making, and I can see how frustrated Maria is, because it's like, you are tarnishing my character. You're making me look bad, and you won't even give me example. Like, you won't even engage, because Sydney is just, she has, I do not understand what's going on in her head, what her end game is, what her point is, because it just, I can't wait for Women Tell All so she can kind of, you know, answer for herself, because it literally, she is acting as if Maria spit in her face. Like,
yeah. Like, part of me wonders if she just realized she doesn't have a connection with Joey, so she's just trying to make airtime for herself and make a name for herself. Because you think about it, like we said, Ashley I posted that photo with her. She's friends with Ashley I. Ashley I was a bully. Ashley I bullied Claire and Kayla on Bachelor in Paradise because they both were, like, interested in her now husband. So, So this is who your friends are? Someone who is a notorious Bachelor bully? And unfortunately, like, she became beloved in the franchise, which it still bothers me to this day. I still do not really like Ashley I, because she was a bully and nobody ever called her on it. And I've never heard her apologize for that treatment. And maybe she has, I don't know. I don't listen to her show, so what do I know? But as far as I knew, she never apologized to Claire or Kayla for the way she treated them on Bachelor in Paradise. And so you now have this person rooting for you and saying, oh, you know, the edit. No, fuck that. Like, at the end of the day, you still said these words, and I don't understand where they came from.
And I think it's interesting. I think I definitely agree with what you're saying, because I find it very interesting the person that she decides to make her target is Maria, because Maria is someone who is outspoken. Because there's a lot of women who, if they were in Maria's situation, they would have just
buckled,
stopped. Exactly. They just would have shut up. Mm-hmm. And Maria is like, no, you are lying, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit here and let you lie on me mm-hmm. on national television. Like, I'm going to speak my truth. Yep. But unfortunately, that means you're adding fuel to the fire. You're keeping it going.
Yeah. And that's, like, Maria has not responded on social media. And I think that is a mature way to go. You know, because she's not trying to carry this shit on any longer. She's like,
I think she did, like, a story that's kind of, like, along the lines of be kind. Like, she's trying to be very neutral about the whole situation.
Yeah.
I'm going to double check real quick.
I think she did. I think I saw something like that too. And I did see her do, like, a question and answer things. People were asking her about the sprinkles thing and something else they asked her about. I saw her answer.
So she said, emotions are high, but please stay positive and kind to everyone involved.
Yep.
That's what she posted.
Beautiful. So nice. Yeah, Maria is a sweet girl. She's just not going to take your shit. And, you know, a lot of that could come from her having been bullied. Like, I remember when I was being bullied in sixth grade and I finally had enough and fought back. And I think ever since then, I have been the kind of person that's going to fight back. Like, you're not just going to tell me something that I know is not true. You're not just going to treat me away because I know that didn't fucking happen. So, you know, if it had happened and she was fighting this hard, I'd be like, girl, like, come on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it didn't happen. And it's too much. I really do not want to see this carry out more than after next week.
Yeah, they got to wrap it up. They got to wrap it up.
Yeah.
She's going to go home and just base it. I feel like, what is it? Jess? Is it Jess?
Yeah.
I think Jess is, I think once Sydney gets sent home, I think Jess is going to reemerge as the new Supreme again. Like, I think she's going to come back and start irritating people again, because absolutely, because I watched the season trailer very intently, and I saw that there were some conflict with Jess again. Yeah, that we haven't seen yet. And I think it might have partially been with Maria. And I'm like, poor Maria, I can't catch a break.
I said the same thing when I saw that trailer, but I'm really hoping it's not with her, because then if you have drama again with Jess, I'm like, okay. I'm not saying you're the problem, but I'm saying that you might be a little bit part of the problem.
And I think Joey would get frustrated with it and just,
yeah,
if she's a part of it again, I don't think he picks her. There's no way. Yeah,
there's no way. And it's unfortunate because like we said, she has a very strong personality. She's the kind of person who's going to say what she's thinking. So I can definitely see that being an issue again with someone else, even if she doesn't intend for it to be. But what I think is interesting is that we just saw in this episode, Maria say to Joey, if you like Sydney, there's no way you could like me. And mm-hmm. we saw in the trailer Jess saying that exact same thing. I couldn't tell if she was saying it to Joey or to the other women or not. Mm. But I'm just like, there's no way that this is said twice in one season to
Joey. I got to watch that trailer again because I haven't watched it since the premiere. I got to see what we've seen, what we haven't. What I do know is I remember when I first saw the trailer, I was like, ooh, Joey is making out with all the girls, like not just the white girls. Like, no, he and I find that to be so like just so wonderful to see, because I think in the past, yeah, they will cast women of color. But I feel like oftentimes, like the ways that we get our bachelorettes is they happen to make it to Final Four, even though they obviously have the weakest connection with the lead. But we know, like, but they're making a good case for Bachelorette, right? Like, I wasn't sure how much Zach was into Charity, right? Or how much Nick was actually into Rachel. I didn't watch that season, so maybe I could be wrong. But
we didn't see it. I mean, like,
right?
We saw a lot of her, so we liked her. There was a lot of screen time there, and the producers protected her by not showing the fight she had with Vanessa. So there was mm-hmm. a lot of things that like made us think that there was a stronger connection. But if you go watch it now, you're like, no, it wasn't there.
Exactly. And so I feel like oftentimes these men don't really express attraction to women of color. Mm-hmm. And Joey's maybe the first one that I've seen. Again, I'm still kind of a baby Bachelor fan in a way, you know, but he's the first one where I'm like, oh, he's attracted to so many different types of women. I mean, if we want to start talking about the one-on-one, I mean, he and Jen had such a natural chemistry.
Yes,
it was so cool to see.
Yes. Then him and Kelsey T making out after the tennis date.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, like, he kept saying that like, there's just something about her. I don't know. And she's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Oh. Very talented actress. Like,
so gorgeous. Yeah. And then, I mean, he loves him some Rachel. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Let me talk about Rachel for a second. She is so adorable. Why in every single episode does something just go wrong for her?
Oh my God, when her earring, like, for I have a lot of piercings on my ears too, similar to Rachel. So I was like, I can relate to that. Her earring getting caught on his sweater. She was so embarrassed.
I would have pissed my pants laughing. Okay. Like, that's one of those like delightfully awkward situations that all you can do is cry. Like, this, like, cry, and I do mean cry laughing. It's like you just have to laugh at yourself sometimes. But it was hysterical. And she handled it so well. She just brushed it off and kept going. But like last week, the rack fell on her.
Oh my gosh, yes.
What is happening to you?
The poor, she's giving clumsy, but I love it. It's clumsy and adorable. Yeah, you know? And then even all of his moments with Edwina too, like he seemed really into her. You know, it didn't seem like he was forcing it. So it's just really nice to see that he is attracted to all different types of women. Like, yeah, he said that a lot, but you can actually see the chemistry on television, which is really nice. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I definitely feel like his Final Four will have, like, I could honestly see it being half women in color. Like, right now, I have my Final Four, Lexi, Daisy, Rachel, and Kelsey T.
Mm.
Not really based on anything except for my own. I feel like I kind of have Kelsey T in there just because I just really like her. But
she's so cool.
Yeah, their chemistry from this episode, I'm like, nah, I'm going to throw her in there, because I was kind of going back and forth with who it might be, but I'm just going to put her up there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's one of my, I have one really good friend who's also a Bachelor fan, and we were talking about it earlier today, And we were just like, we don't know what Joey's gonna do when it gets to about like top 10. Because truly, my who I think is gonna be in the top four keeps changing. I mean, Daisy always stays in that top four, along with Rachel. Like, those are the two that I'm absolutely sure about. But those other two slots are just interchanging because he has so much chemistry with so many women. You know,
Yes.
I didn't expect him and Jen to have such a cool date and like seem to really enjoy each other's company. And then Caitlin got the group date rose, and they seem to have a really sweet banter as well. So it's just I'm just like, I don't know what Joey's gonna do. I'm like, I truly feel like he has so many options and so many connections. You
Yeah.
know, like with most seasons, you can tell pretty clear who are the front runners. I
Yeah.
mean, like, we knew very early on that Zach was totally gonna pick,
Katie.
Katie. But yeah, so I'm very, it's only gonna get better and better. And I'm like, oh, now I'm starting to understand why this man was a mess in his finale.
Yeah, I can only imagine what happens because I'm like, Jesus Christ, you love all these women.
Absolutely.
What did you think about Caitlyn and Jen both sharing their family lives and it not being like the cookie cutter traditional Hallmark mom and dad been married forever, and I want that.
Oh, I loved it. Not that I love hearing sad stories, but I know it's like, oh, give me your trauma. Love
Yes.
that it's not.
More single parent households. Yay. Like, no, it's not what we're
Yeah.
saying.
Not at all. That is not what we're saying. I'll start with Jen. What I really liked about Jen's story is that I feel like it's a very common immigrant story. I think a lot of non-white folks can relate to living in a household with parents who are technically not together but are still living in the same household, for cultural reasons, or maybe it's financial, whatever. But I feel like that's something that I see a lot more common, with people who are not white. So I thought that was really interesting. And then also what I liked about Caitlin was her story reminded me of Practical Magic, which is a movie that I really enjoy. And I
Same.
was like, I was like, oh my goodness, not all the women having curses.
Yes, I messaged her like my family's the same way. It's four. I have
Yes.
four women and an uncle, and all the women are single. Now my aunt did just get remarried recently, but like my whole life they've all been single. And my family, like, they are gorgeous and accomplished women who just intimidate men too much. You know, my mother's a fucking colonel in the Air Force. Like, men
Oh,
are intimidated by.
badass.
Yeah, she's a little GI Jane. Like, she could beat me up, okay?
Oh,
My mom is everything. All her sisters are the exact same. Like, they're just all badasses, and men are just intimidated by that. So I grew up like surrounded by these amazing single women and never really learned how to like be married, but I know that I one day would like to be married. So I loved seeing, especially Caitlyn's story of her being like, no, I still deserve love just because I came from a single household and all the women are cursed. Like, I'm gonna break that curse. And she,
I,
it was very jokey. It was clear that she doesn't really believe
yes.
they're cursed.
But it was a really cool way to tell that story. And I also come from a very similar background where a lot of the women in my mother on my mother's side of the family in particular, are single. And we just have a very female heavy side of the family. There's just not a lot of men on the on our side of the family. But I really liked Joey's response to it. He's like, oh, I absolutely love that she's independent and that, she doesn't need a man, but she wants love. Like, I really, and he gave her the rose because of it too, because of that really good conversation.
Listen, he nailed that shit spot on. Okay.
I'm telling
Oh,
you.
do we know if Joey's mother ever remarried?
That's a good question.
I feel like she didn't, because I don't remember ever like being a stepdad around, you know, like at hometowns.
I mean, I've stalked Joey's social media. He's been at a lot of weddings, but also his sister had gotten married over the past couple of years. So I don't know if he's went to his mom's wedding. I don't think so. I'm not positive.
Yeah, I just was wondering if he, you know, ever saw his mom remarry, or if he's like, no, single independent women, but badass.
Yeah.
You know, I think it just speaks to who he is again. So oh my gosh. Okay. Can we talk about KFC for a second? Where do you stand on the great chicken debate, first of all? KFC, Popeyes, churches, home cooking. Like,
Okay, so if we're just in general talking about, the best fried chicken out there. KFC was never high on my list. I don't know if they still have these, but they used to have these bowls that were my favorite thing
I
because it
remember those.
combined
Yes.
all of my, it had everything that I love.
Yes.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, corn, and fried chicken.
Yep.
Those were the best. I don't know. Again, I'm not sure if they still have them because I haven't had KFC in years, but delicious. But that was the only thing I ever would have had from KFC. I always prefer like a local fried chicken, a local fried chicken place.
Same. Or
And I've
home.
spent
Yeah.
home, absolutely home cooked will always be best. I live in New York now and I love going to some of the soul food restaurants. There's always a huge debate between Melba's and Sylvia's and Amy Ruth's.
Yeah.
Amy Ruth's is my favorite soul food place, and I think they have some of the best fried chicken. That's my opinion.
I'm gonna be in New York again. I'm gonna hit you up for some of those suggestions.
Oh yes. Oh my gosh, please do. Please do. I'll give you all of the spots.
Okay.
And then in terms of fast food, I lived in the South for a while and no one was going to KFC. Like we were going
Oh
to
my.
Bojangles or Popeyes or yeah.
Forgot about Bojangles. Yeah. The last time I went to KFC was in college. It was my senior year, 2009, and KFC had just come out with the grilled chicken. And so they were giving it away. They literally sent op like went on Oprah or something and gave coupons where you could get a free meal as long as it was the grilled chicken. When I tell you, the KFC lines were backed up for miles. And because we were printing off multiple coupons. So then finally they had to be like, no, the coupon has to have a watermark on it. They were making it so, girl, two of the KFCs shut down. They ran out of food. Like, we have to close.
Oh, not y'all shutting down the KFCs.
It was so funny. It was so funny. But I think I got three meals that day. Like, I was like, I know.
Wow. Do you remember if it was good? I mean, I know this was your
It
college
was.
point of view, but.
Yeah, I mean, 2009, starving college student and free food. We really can't go wrong.
Fair,
And
fair.
so yeah, but I've always liked their sides. So their sides was not the issue. Green beans, mashed potatoes, I'm good, you know. It was the fried chicken was just never good there to me. So the grilled
No.
chicken, and I don't love grilled chicken, but again, it was free food. So it was edible, I will say that. It wasn't like, damn, I need to eat this now that I had to pay for it. Never went back. I never went back. So yeah.
First and last time.
Literally. But I do remember those bowls. And in high school, I remember loving those bowls.
They were so good.
And I think about it now, I'm probably like, they're probably way too salty, to be honest. But
Oh, absolutely. Mashed gravy, mashed potato, and then the chicken was like nuggets
yeah.
essentially.
It was
I'm
just like
sure.
all breaded shit. Yeah.
Oh, this. I'm sure the sodium was out of this world.
Out of the
But
world, but we could handle it back then.
I will say, I was like, there's so much spawn this season, and I'm like, this is how they were able to afford all the wonderful things they've gotten for Joey. I mean, Michael Bolton, how the hell did they afford that? I'm like, it's got to be the KFC spawn paying for that and the drones that are spelling out people's names, you
Yeah.
know?
Oh, that was really cool. How they did gins, like, will you accept their?
Yeah.
What was that? Because that wasn't just fireworks.
It
Like,
was drones.
it was drones. Okay, I was
Yeah.
like, what is happening? It was so
It
cool.
was really cool, right?
Yeah, I loved it. But Billie Eilish opening up the first episode,
Oh, I know that. I know that was expensive.
I
I
said
know.
that one episode cost more than Charity's entire season. Okay,
Oh,
I'm upset about it.
yes. And oh my goodness. And because I think they're heading overseas in the next episode. And I remember with Charity season, they spent too much time in America. I
They didn't
feel like it
go
took
to
them a minute.
Colorado. Yeah, we actually thought they weren't going to travel at all. They ended up leaving with the final 4 minutes. It was supposed to be final three, but Aaron ended up there, so it was four of them. Is when they finally went overseas. So I don't know what that was all
That
about.
is crazy because normally you do not wait that long to go overseas. Like
Yeah.
normally, once you get it down to, I don't know, like 12 or 14, you start going overseas.
Yeah, and I was well. So next week there's two episodes. So I think
Yes.
that Tuesday night's episode is when they're going to do the traveling. So I think they have one-on-one for Monday's episode, and then Tuesday will be when they go to Malta, which shout out to Malta. That is the first island I ever went to when I was like
Oh.
in fourth grade. My mom and I were living in Germany, and Malta's really close. So we went there, and I'm like, every time I hear people talk about it, I'm like, oh my God, I know where that is. But yeah, I don't think they've ever been there on this franchise. So be really exciting
That'd be
to
cool.
go back. Did anything else stand out to you on this episode?
So one last comment on the KFC stuff.
Yeah.
I guess one of my issues with seeing it, and Jenna on Descartes Pod talks about this a little bit in when she does her reactions, and probably on her podcast as well. But I think it's very interesting to see all of these very obviously thin women, you know, eating all of this fried chicken. And it's like, I just feel like if they were to cast women who were in larger bodies and they did the same thing, people would be up in arms around it. Like, because they love to monitor the food intake of women who are in bigger bodies. So it just feels so hypocritical that you're like, oh, we can do this spawn, especially like, because it's these thin women and it's acceptable. That is something that kind of like rubs me in kind of the wrong way. But I will say what rubbed me the right way was the very end seeing Jesse chowing, because Jesse looked like he was going in on that bucket of chicken. Yeah. Like it wasn't little nibbles. It wasn't like a little delicate, let me do it for the show. No. Jesse was tearing that chicken apart.
Yeah.
And having a good time.
The only thing that really bothered me about it, besides the fact that I don't believe these women have ever had KFC in their lives, except for Daisy, and well, the Black women, obviously, but like, I firmly believe that like Maria, I don't believe she's ever had KFC in her life. She also comes from money, so yeah, just too. Like, you don't know KFC, and that's fine because it's not good, so I'm totally fine with that. But what bothered me about it is just the obviousness of it. Like, They didn't have to make it a whole scene of, we have KFC. Yeah, that's like you said, watching these women chat out on it. Like, just have it there and they're talking around. Like, just don't, it doesn't have to be the center of attention, is what I'm saying. Yeah. It just made it very uncomfortable. The only good part about it, and I feel like the only thing that probably sold KFC at all, was Daisy talking about, grandma used to buy this shit for us. Like, you know, she's a
big... Yeah, I was like, oh, you definitely are familiar with KFC.
Yes. I 100% believe Daisy. And that, I feel like that story itself was probably like worth all of this. But I would have liked to have seen that with her just talking to Joey and saying it. I don't want to see you talking to the camera and more product play. Like, it just... It was very disingenuous to me. It reminded me of the Golden Bachelor wedding when they're like, oh, do you have your registry? Yes, we registered on Amazon's wedding registry.
They're reading from a script. I think because this is kind of a new thing for them, so I don't remember them getting these kind of in-show sponsorships before, that they just haven't found a way to seamlessly integrate it. So they need to work on that, because they could do it. It's possible, but they need to work on that.
Yeah. Like, just have it there and be like, hey, you know what? KFC catered, no big deal. Don't make them all jump for joy as if they've never eaten. It just was weird. So I did not love it, but they'll figure it out. They're getting better. I do think this season overall has been better. Just like, oh, the costume. We didn't talk about the tennis date. So first of all, I was kind of shocked that they did the tennis date this early on, because I feel like tennis is important to Joey. I would have rather have seen it with all of the women who are left, like later on in the season. You know how like, they always do that, like one group outing when there's like six women left. I feel like that would have made more sense for the tennis date. So, because at that point, you know that his chosen woman is in that group. So it would have made more sense to see it that way. But overall, I enjoyed the date so much. The costumes, oh my God. So I made a list of who was what, because I just thought it was so funny. So for those of you who didn't watch, they had the women put on costumes for the tennis day instead of your typical like strip tennis or a little teeny weeny bikinis. They had Autumn and Daisy in these big ass sumo wrestling type cry baby outfits. They had like pacifiers, bottles, like a bib, little head things, fucking hysterical. Then they had Rachel and Star as a hot dog and a bun.
Wiener, yeah.
Yeah. And then Kelsey and Evelyn were a lobster and a thing of butter.
Butter.
But Kelsey had this thing on her head as the butter that she kept wobbling. And no, like people could not.
Joey couldn't stop laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. So funny.
And then we had Jessica and and Caitlin as the bee and the beehive.
Ah.
Yeah. And theirs was a little less funny, but it was still like, it was still cute. Mm-hmm. And so then they played the two teams, and then the winner from each played each other. And then Kelsey and Evelyn just dominated and won the whole thing.
They sure did.
That was great to see two Black women just killing it. And both of them
have
played this before. So,
and I think what made this date so much fun is that the woman really committed to it. Like, I was actually kind of surprised by how silly Daisy was. Like, she was she had me dying with the baby stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
when they won champagne, Daisy was like, "Well, we can't have champagne anyway."
Like, you know, when she slipped into that baby voice, I was like, "Oh my!" She even laughed at herself. She was like, "Oh my god, I sound ridiculous."
They were so funny, but this is what we need to see. Like, that was hilarious. I hope that they have learned that we like to laugh more than we want to see sexy women. Like, think about your audience, y'all. It's a bunch of women watching the show. Why do you think we want to see women in bikinis? I don't care.
So, totally.
So that Absolutely. Was a smart move. Whoever made that decision, I hope you get a raise.
Yeah, it was really good. And then to see him have his individual moments with the women afterwards. Mm-hmm. I know we talked a lot about Caitlin. Caitlin was on this date, right?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Caitlin was on this date. Was at the Beehive. Yeah, with Jessica.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, one of the moments that stick out to me is his time with Daisy. And she was like, "Do you want to touch my cochlear implant?"
She said, "Do you want to touch it?" I was like, "This is dirty."
Joey was a little bit taken aback.
Yeah. But then watching him handle it, that was a really intimate moment. That's why Daisy remains in my top. Like, she's making it far. Because that was very...
She was like, "Oh, yeah, you know, I've got this thing that makes me different." And he was like, "No, not different, special." I was like, "Oh, you ready with the lines. You're good, man.
I love it.
The boy is smooth. The boy is smooth. I'm telling you, like, his charisma is, like, out of this world.
Out of this world. Agreed. So if you had to pick, like, who stood out for you in this episode? Four women that stood out for you.
Four that stood out for me in this particular episode.
Whether it was good or bad. Yeah, whether it was good or bad things.
All right. So, I mean, unfortunately, the Sydney and Maria drama, like, they kind of dominated the episode. So they definitely stood out for better or for worse. I think I will say this was a big turning point for Maria for me. Like, before, I wasn't sure how I felt about her, but now I really do like her. And then Sydney, it was more, you got to go, girl. Like, it's time for you to go. Yeah. And then two others that really stood out for me. I will say it seems like his connection with Lexi is deepening. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely, like, noticing that a lot. Along with Kelsey is interesting because this is the second time he said kind of either in an ITM or with when he's talking over what's happening voiceover that he mentions Kelsey. Kelsey A, the one from New Orleans.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he told her several times and then told us too. Like, there's, like, yeah, he was definitely.
Yeah, and we haven't seen a lot of her. This is probably the first episode that we're starting to see more of her. And something is telling me to keep an eye on her.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's something that they're not quite showing us yet, but he keeps on referencing her. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's kind of like a sleeper agent. Like, she comes in pretty strong later in the season.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with your three, unfortunately, Sydney, Maria for the drama, and then Lexi, because she did win the group date rose, and they had a nice, solid kiss. I'm going to switch you, Kelsey A, for Kelsey T.
Oh, I do love her, too.
Yes.
I love her.
Only because, like, she won the tennis date. We saw them have a really, like, intimate mm-hmm. makeup. I feel like that's the first time we saw him kiss her. And same thing that he was doing for the other Kelsey, too. Like, there's something about her. And mm-hmm. so it was really nice to see that about a woman of color. I hope that we do see more of her, more of that connection.
Yeah, I will. I was looking, I got to look at it again, but I was looking at the promo for next week, and it looks like, I think she gets some, I don't know if it's either a one-on-one or just time alone with him, but it looks like she's getting some time with him, and Rachel is going to definitely get some good time with him. So I think, I'm fingers crossed, I'm really excited to see that, because they're definitely two of my faves. I mean, just gorgeous girls inside and out. They just seem so wonderful. And Joey seems to really like them, so...
Agreed. I really want to see more from them. So hopefully next week is the week.
Yes, I'm hoping. This season, I know we're only, what was it? We're three episodes in. So then we're going to be halfway through the season since we're getting two episodes next week. So soon we'll be halfway through, which is kind of crazy to think about.
Yeah, it really is. And I was just thinking about that, like, oh shoot, there's two episodes next week. How am I going to record for that? Okay.
Oh yeah, like if you're going to do two separate episodes or just one big one.
Yeah, I feel like one big one, because that's just a lot of work, you know.
Fair, fair, fair.
We'll figure it out. But anyway, thank you so much for joining me today, Epiphany. Go ahead and let people know where you want them to follow you at.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, you can follow me personally at Epiphany Cyan. So, it's EpiphanyXiann. So that's the same on Instagram and on Twitter. I refuse to call it X. I never will. So it is Twitter. Twitter is the name its mama gave him. So that's the name I'm gonna call it. So, and if you are interested, right now Roses for Everybody is taking a little bit of a hiatus. But if you're curious to see some of the work that we have been doing in the past, you can definitely check us out on Instagram. Take a look at our petition and see some of our really fantastic educational posts about fat phobia and just body diversity, and the, you know, the hope, well, the hope for inclusion within the franchise. So yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me, and a special shout out to my guests. All of their social media and page info can be found in the show notes. If you liked what you heard, please like, subscribe, and follow this podcast and my Instagram page at kickingitwith_Rae. That's RAE. Theme song was created by Chad Milner, and producing and editing was all done by me. See you next week.